The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this 17th day of September 2021. We had a fascinating day yesterday, did the Prager Show, and had the opportunity anytime I do two talk shows, gives me the chance to hang out with you all, as I usually do, every morning, 7 to 10. And then from noon to 2, did a bunch of things about General Milley, a bunch of things about the Texas. It's funny, every time I do any of the national shows, there's a kind of a magnet to my being there. I'd love to think it's part of my charm, but a lot of it is the fact that I'm in Texas, the most news-making state in America. I mean, I know California had the recall election. Florida may well contain our next president, but it's Texas where you get heartbeat bill, constitutional carry, voter integrity laws that make the left freak out. So we had a whole lot of discussion about various things. And this morning, another Texas story is dominating in the news, and that is down in Del Rio, where thousands upon thousands of migrants are just waiting to enter the country illegally, standing in a line without food, without water. A woman had a baby in this line yesterday, and they are waiting. They're there to be detained because they know that detention is their ticket in under Biden. And they can then get a court date in some distant sci-fi calendar and disappear into the tapestry of America, never to be heard from again, until they are normalized, until they are legalized, until they are naturalized, and then they can be energized for decades of grateful Democrat voting. That's what's going on. We're going to go do a deep dive into border stuff as we begin. Attorney General Ken Paxton, who's being, who's catching shivs in the ribs from three sides now, because you had George P. Bush, former Supreme Court Justice Ava Guzman, and yesterday my friend Matt Krause, state rep Fort Worth, District 93, he announced on the show for the Attorney General's race, had a day to think about that and a number of other things. Hey, here's something to think about. No matter where we go, no matter what we do topically, here's something to think about. It's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Oh! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I wouldn't.
Those crazy nights I do remember in my youth.
A little quality Neil Schon riff.
I do recall those were the best times.
The incomparable Steve Perry. Hey, why not some Journey? I tell you why, though. Little chart history, kids. Journey and Stone in Love, the album. What's the album? You all owned it. Escape. Contained Don't Stop Believin'. Who's Crying Now? And this. Escape by Journey. Number one album in America. 40 years ago this week. All right. There you go. All righty. Who they still got Arnel Pineda out front of them, and Steve Perry still kind of got some chops. I don't know what the etiquette is there. I mean, they've probably made more money touring with this Filipino kid they found on YouTube than they like ever did during the Steve Perry era. He probably did more shows than Steve did during Journey's heyday. Oh, well, there we are. Let's dive in. 866-660-5759. Ken Paxton will be with us 1 hour from now. Yesterday, in the 8 o'clock hour, we welcomed my friend Matt Krause, and he announced for Attorney General. And the first question I had for him was, why? And I don't mean that. Although I do kind of mean it. That's like, okay, you've got Attorney General Paxton, who either is or is not vulnerable. And right now the indication is not. Everybody running against him is looking for that to change. They are looking for Paxton to simply be taken out under the weight of various controversies. So when Ken joins us at 8:05, I'm going to put those controversies right in his lap and let him tell me why they're not going to take him down. Because it's not even about policies anymore. Although George P. was the first to say that the weight of these attorneys who bolted for some reason, the cloud of charges that's been, you know, wafting in the breeze for 6 years now, that is going to make it, you know, difficult, if not impossible. It's a distraction that the attorney general would not be able to do his job. Do you get that feeling that's happening? I'm exhausted just following Ken Paxton in the news. He's everywhere. And so the notion that he is somehow hamstrung or shackled or there's some anvil of controversy around him that's keeping him from doing stuff appears to just not be the case. Of course, it's September of 2021, and the primary is March 1st, which is either right around the corner or forever from now. In the political calendar, it's forever from now. A lot can happen. A lot can happen in 6 weeks, much less 6 months. So there was There was Matt Krause on the show yesterday, and he's certainly got a tagline, a slogan, faithful conservative warrior. And what we have there is this wonderful man who has been in the legislature faithful conservative fighter, FCF, faithful conservative fighter. And he wove that through about every other answer. And it was great. And that's his website. And that's being on message. And Matt is awesome. So here's the deal. Here's how this slices and dices. And I'll ask Ken about this, too. And I think, is this the rhythm that we'll have Matt Krause on? We'll have George P. on. Probably got to go get Judge Guzman. And they all know what their job is to get you to not like Ken Paxton anymore, to get you to go, thank you, Ken, but we're done with you. And again, is there any reason that people are about to do that right now? No. It's a gamble. They think that by March 1st, Ken Paxton will be such damaged goods that we're going to go looking for an alternative. The biggest name and the biggest money at the moment for an alternative is George P. Bush. I think Matt Krause's calculus is that the conservative base is going to keep some distance from George P. Bush, and they need some place to go. And so Matt Krause is there saying, "Here I am." And Matt is awesome. Matt is conservative. Matt would be a wonderful attorney general. But here's the thing. That doesn't matter. But that's not the first thing that matters. The first thing that matters is, will an argument be made by March 1st where Republicans go sour on Paxton? That's an enormous if, and that makes it an enormous gamble on the part of everybody running against him. It's ditto with Abbott. By March 1st, it is Don Huffine's job. It's Alan West's job to make everybody go so sour on Abbott that Republicans don't vote for him anymore. Is there any sign that that's about to happen? Nope. But it's September of 2021. So this is why people put their hats in the ring. They give it their best shot and just sort of see what happens. And so there we are in the world of Texas politics. In the Prager Show, I'll get to this maybe 8:35, 9:05. Kind of depends on what y'all are doing, what y'all want to do. I talked to Larry Elder yesterday, and then, this is kind of wild. So it was the first post-recall election interview by Larry Elder, and I got to do it because I was doing the Prager Show. It's like, it's our company. It would seem like a pretty natural place for Larry to land for his first post-election interview. And I told him how proud I was of him, and I told him what happened. And that is that he energized an enormous number of conservatives in California and at the same time energized an enormous number of liberals in California to vote against him. Because that's how effective you were. I mean, you got inside Gavin Newsom's head rent free And he started talking about you and nationalizing the election and, you know, making you Trump Jr. And the LA Times turned him into, you know, the, I love this, the black face of white supremacy. Love that. And I said, it's a compliment that the liberal corners of California, the liberal majorities of California, saw Larry Elder coming in and rose up and said, man, we fear this so much that we're going to line up and protect a governor that we don't even like that much. And then we got to the subject that that we all want to know about. When is Larry back on the show? Now, Carl Jackson's doing a great job filling in, and it looks like he's going to be there for a while because this campaign, it got to Larry. I mean, in a good way, it wrapped around his heart. There's something about having 2.5 million people vote for you. That's an incredible. I mean, having you listen to me is an unbelievable gesture, an unbelievable gift, and I'm just so grateful every day. Folks who run for elected office will tell you that people who will get up, get in their car, go drive somewhere, walk into a building or fill out a thing and put it in the mail, don't get me started, and actually vote for you for something with real power in your life. I'm a radio guy. We're talking about voting for somebody to give them real power in your life. That is an unbelievable leap of faith. It's an incredible gesture of confidence and trust. And he says it really touched my heart, and it's making me think what do I want to do now? And so I offered some free advice. I said, okay, Larry, if you want to weigh a whole bunch of options, because surely you have them, the Larry Elder brand has certainly had a fantastic few weeks here. Why don't you hash that out while doing the show? Why don't you run it by the listeners who love you, you know, and do the show and figure it out sort of on the fly, you know, while doing the show. And he was, he said, I might. So I don't know how that breaks out, but, whatever Larry wants to do, I support him, love him, very proud of my friend. Speaking of talk show guys who I love, our buddy Mike Gallagher will join us from New York, and he'll be with us at 7:35. I have a couple of things to ask him from a layer or two below the sort of the main news, and I'll get to those. There's a TV show they were going to do that got canceled before it even starts, and I have a question about a story that is huge in the news all over the country, and I don't know why. So all that's coming in our segment with Mike. Let me take our first break after we do our prayer. And when I pop back in, the Channel 5 sent Alana Quillen down to Del Rio. Del Rio is hell on earth right now for thousands of illegal immigrants. It's kind of, you think of illegal immigration as sneaking in a dark, desolate part of the Rio Grande and trying to get through undetected. These folks, with Biden as president, they want to be detected. It's like, hey, please arrest me. I've been here for days. Can you please detain me? Can you please take me into custody? Because custody in America is better than whatever existence they left. And that these are economic migrants. There's no asylum claim to be made here. And, I mean, I can't speak for every single one of them, but by and large, it's because they think the American economy and their promise for a better life in America is better than whatever their status quo was in Mexico. Guess what? They're probably right. But the definition of borders is we can't let in every living human being with a pulse who wants to come, live in Texas rather than Tijuana, which doesn't work because Tijuana is over by California. I needed alliteration there. So we'll take a look at what's going on down there. No matter what is going on anywhere, this is a good idea. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Speaking of protection, protect and watch over our fellow Americans trapped in Afghanistan. And Lord, be with us as we chart a course out of this COVID nightmare and help us to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. These are times of trial and challenge. Lord, lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we fight for the unborn, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill. Our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. It's 7:21. It is Iconic Country Birthday Week. A couple of days ago, Roy Acuff, and today...
I'm a rolling stone, all alone and alone.
Hank Williams' birthday.
For a life of sin.
Born this date, 1923.
I have paid the call.
You know, Hank was 29 when he died, 1953.
All the people say...
There's a little lost highway.
Just another guy on the lost highway.
So we will weave some Hank into the library today and some other folks, too. All right. Alana Quillen down in Del Rio covering the Del Rio story for Channel 5.
You know, state leaders are definitely keeping a very close eye on this, trying to figure out what their next move will be. And we're seeing lots of video footage out of the border areas that just shows how desperate the situation is there. Take a look at this chopper footage from the NBC affiliate in San Antonio. Flying over the scene there, a sea of migrants camping out under that Del Rio bridge, walking freely back and forth across the Rio Grande. Thousands of people, including families, we're told many of them from Haiti, that we know are fleeing poverty, political unrest, and natural disasters that have been happening there over the last 10 years. Now, according to some reports, many more are on the way. At one point in the past 12 hours or so, Governor Abbott announced the state would help close 6 border crossings, but without the green light from the federal government, he had to backtrack on that order. Mayor of Del Rio shared a video with NBC 5 last night showing us what the situation looks like on the ground there. He says they're worried about health concerns, obviously with COVID-19, but he says a woman even gave birth in the crowd this week, and he's hoping for quick action from the Biden administration.
The Border Patrol right now is so overwhelmed with the...
That is Bruno Lozano, mayor of Del Rio.
...influx of migrants in the Del Rio sector. We have about 2,000 to 3,000 at any given moment in detention. These individuals behind me are not in detention. They're just waiting to get detained.
They're not in detention. They're waiting to get detained. We laugh lest we cry. They're waiting to get detained. They're embracing their illegality because they know that it is a ticket to legality and naturalization down the road under Biden and his successors if these policies continue.
To continue their process into the Border Patrol custody.
This is as bad as I've ever seen it.
Representative Tony Gonzalez, Republican of San Antonio.
There is no southern border. It's pure chaos. It's as if there's a flash mob here in Del Rio. This ends one way, a policy decision.
Now, this isn't the first problem we've seen at the southern border this year. In March, Governor Abbott formed Operation Lone Star, directing state troopers to arrest migrants for simple trespassing charges. Border Patrol encounters, we're told, are now more than 200,000 a month. A 21-year high. And the local county attorney in Del Rio says those arrests are just adding more work onto what's already on their plate right now. And of course, they're juggling those cases in addition to the new arrivals that we're seeing this week.
That's Alana Quillen from Channel 5. And this is 100% intentional. If you find yourself thinking, well, these people are clueless. They don't have a plan. They are inept. Now, that's Afghanistan. You're right about that. This is willful. This is on purpose so that the flood of migrants will flood the zone of our consciousness. So we'll just kind of throw up our hands and go, I don't know what to do. We'll make it. So you got to make it a humanitarian crisis, which it is, so that you're caring for these starving, you know, desperate people. And it's like, okay, let them in. That's what they are waiting for you to feel like. So that the meaning of borders evaporates, the significance of borders erodes, the importance of borders is usurped by the humanitarian crisis, which is their complete goal, so that we can get every single one of these folks into America, and then washed up, scrubbed up, and fired up to become voting citizens ASAP. That is the plan. My plan is to hand things over to Gordon Griffin right now, let him do a newscast, and then come back out and say hi to our buddy Mike Gallagher for his Friday show preview. We'll bat a couple of things around. It is Friday, 17th September. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer, and here's Gordon. All right.
It's like Barry White.
Hello, baby.
Don't talk that way to me.
That is a note.
It's too early in the morning.
Can't get enough of your show, baby.
I miss that guy. All of his songs were so good.
They all sounded alike, and no one cared. It was like, oh, man, no. Everybody.
You always had a nice date.
Oh,
if you had his music on. The
yeah.
Background. So having established a mood, can I hit you with a huge story in America? And I don't know why it's a huge story in America. I mean, before we get to anything Biden, anything border, anything Millie, I need your help on something.
I'm here to serve.
I'm fascinated by the notion of how stories become a big deal. All right.
I know where you're gonna ask.
Okay, go. What am I asking about?
The missing girl.
Bingo. Yep. Gabby Petito is missing. Everybody, they're from Long Island. She and her fiance, I guess, were on some Western trip, heading out to the Grand Tetons, got as far as like Moab, Utah, and they have some kind of dust up. There's apparently some footage of them in some kind of conflict, and she's gone, and the fiance very mysteriously is like refusing to cooperate, so everybody thinks he killed her. So far what I've described is a really interesting and compelling local crime story. I was asking somebody about this, sharing my view. How is this the front page of Fox News every day? And of course, we care about every human being. Please, please, God, let her be okay. And I totally get it. I am mystified. I mean, it's in national newscasts, radio, TV, everywhere. I was talking to somebody about this who had not heard about it. He had two questions for me. And pardon me for the cynicism of these two questions. Question was, number one, is she white? I said, yep. Is she cute? I said, yep. He said, there you go.
Well, and there's video of her in her last days. They have dash cam video of her fighting with her fiance, and she's tearful. So you got that element.
Visually, it's
a powerful story because
no doubt.
But you know, I'm intrigued by something you said, how the fiance is mysteriously not speaking. Now, I'm pro-law enforcement. You know me. I mean, I spend every day, we write checks every week to the families of fallen officers with my foundation. I hope nobody takes this as an anti-law enforcement reaction. But when there are these missing person cases, police invariably focus in, just by statistically, by the odds, they focus in on the loved one.
Absolutely.
On the person.
And what's the lawyer. The husband / boyfriend is always a suspect. And by
always
the way,
suspect number one.
Understandably so.
Perhaps. Yeah. But the lawyer's statement I noticed was, because that's always the case, we have advised our client not to say anything because he could go from a person of interest to a suspect in a blink of an eye. If he says the wrong thing, if he stumbles a little bit, if his story isn't 100%, so I kind of get that too. I mean, but you're right to your bigger point. It's the insatiable appetite we have for these. It's like the girl in, what was it, Bermuda, the Bahamas? What was her name?
I don't even know. It all blurs together.
Holloway. Natalie Holloway.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
God.
I mean, my Lord.
That gave Nancy Grace shows for a year and a half.
Top Mom. We had Top Mom. Nancy Grace, Top Mom. Yeah. Jean-Benet, Top Mom. I mean, Jean-Benet Ramsey. Ooh. I mean, there are a lot of black kids. There are a lot of black women. There are a lot of people of color. There are a lot of people who aren't,
who aren't on video or aren't cute. And they vanish every day, and
you
we
bet.
Know nothing. So it's just an oddity
It's a weird
thing. And one of the reasons I asked you is because you are sort of Mr. True Crime, and you love this sort of genre as it becomes to both true crime and fictitious depictions of true crime. I need to give you an update on Only Murders in the Building, this fascinating thing.
Well,
that's
I'm
out.
Three episodes in, I think, and yeah. I see what you mean about kind of jump. They jumped the shark
might,
a little
I
bit,
I might
right?
be done. It's Steve Martin and Martin Short and the wonderful Selena Gomez in this story about three people who are kind of geeked out about true crime stories, and they have a real murder in the building, and they're doing a podcast and blah, 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 blah. Man, I may be out. I'll stick around because it's just a joy to see this cast, but woof, it has become silly.
I've been binge watching two of them, that and then my real guilty pleasure, and it's very gross, it's very violent, it's
of
very
course.
American Horror Story. I love that
yeah.
series.
That's a it's a different plot. I mean, they've had multiple seasons,
yep,
and it's a different premise every season, right?
It's really now it's this beach house and a writer, and it's kind of almost like a Shining thing.
Okay.
It's kind of like the husband is kind of going goofy because he's drinking the pill, taking the pills that make him want to drink blood and everything. It's like Stephen King-esque. You know, one of my fondest memories as a kid, or one of my vivid memories, mm-hmm. was reading Stephen King's It as a kid.
Yep.
And it came alive for me. I read those pages and I saw Pennywise under the bridge. You know, he writes, and I know he is a crazed, deranged,
he's a bigot. He's a political bigot. Yeah.
He's a jerk.
But and also a genius over the years. No, there's
wow,
no denying
his writing.
No
denying. So I always kind of like that Stephen King thing. Hey, let's talk about a horror movie of a different kind.
Yes. Is it real? Is it happening before our actual lives in real life? Go.
How many times yesterday did Biden, between coughs, talk about not paying our fair share?
I know.
I decided to make this very personal because I'm going to share this. I mean, I don't think it's a mystery that neither one of us, you or me, are exactly making minimum wage.
We're not missing meals.
We're lucky people. Yep. We're both blessed. We make good livings. And I was curious. I wanted to look at totals. So because when I was in New York and I was driven out of New York, it was because of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up yesterday. I looked it up this morning, actually. The last year that I was full-time in New York, mm-hmm. I paid 49% in city, state, and federal taxes. So half of my income went back to the government.
Man.
My question to Joe Biden, or to anybody who supports his stupid, broken record rhetoric, is half not my fair share?
I know. How much is enough? Will they ever be done with you, or me, or anybody? And it's not just you and me and radio people. If you got a plumbing company and you happen to, heaven forbid, pull down $200,000 a year, just to figure, you're going to be savaged. You are rich. You are wealthy. And listen,
when they do the 400,000 plus a year, and that's
it's a lie.
It's going to hit everybody, and they know it. But let's go with that.
Right.
Let's go with people making 400,000 or companies, small businesses, mm-hmm. family run businesses.
Right.
There's a lot of farms. There's a lot of companies that do 400,000 or more in revenues. I mean, if 49% is not fair?
No.
What's fair? I mean, honest to goodness, I'm going to do this today on the radio show. Maybe you could do it too. I guarantee you we got some crazed Biden lover listening to you and me right now. Why don't you call us or text me at 1-800-655-MIKE? What's the fair share? Just answer the question. Now, Mark, if he's talking about the companies that have a various, myriad selection of, loopholes that keep them paying any tax, I get that.
Of course.
Don't you?
Absolutely.
I understand that.
Absolutely.
But he could say that. That he's not talking to those companies. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. He's talking to people that do 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000, 700,000, 900,000, whatever it is a year.
Yep.
39, 46, 50. What's the real number? What's fair? It can't be hard to say it. Why doesn't anybody? Listen, if Kelly O'Donnell can ask Circle Back Psaki why he's coughing so much, and she did, which was a little uncomfortable. Why doesn't somebody ask them what's the fair share?
How much will be enough so we can just know when you'll be done with us? And the answer will never come, Mike, because they will never be done with us.
It's never going to be enough.
Can I give you a second curveball of the day?
I'm ready.
Okay, it's Friday. I've just got a lot of stuff banging in my head.
Friday, September 17th.
I'm
going
to describe a TV show that was going to happen, and now it's not. It is called, or was to be called, The Activist. Now, there are a lot of reality shows, competition shows, and this was either, my first question to you is, would this be just a total beatdown, or in a way, would it be kind of interesting? First of all the activism is totally liberal, no pro-life activists in here, but on climate or justice or whatever, they were going to have three or four like people or teams of people, and they're going to send them out and say, get as many Twitter followers as you can, get as much fundraising as you can, get as many clicks as you can, raise as much money as you can. And of all of you activists, whoever does the best will give you an additional pile of money to go to whatever cause is your cause. So is that, not that we really necessarily watch it every week, but is that a diverting and fairly interesting premise for a TV show?
Okay. I'm back to American Horror Story.
I had a similar reaction, but I thought, okay.
Maybe.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Why?
Activists have killed the activist. Because people got a hold of this, and people who like actually do this for a living, they say, wait a minute, CBS has this enormous amount of money, and they're going to spend this enormous amount of money on this TV show and pay Julianne Hough and who else? Priyanka Chopra Jones and Usher. And they're going to be the judges, and they're going to unload all this money. What? Hey, CBS, take the money and give it to a good cause.
Yeah, like the real charities.
You monsters. And to which CBS should have said, shut up. It's a TV show. We think it'll ultimately be good for people. But nope, CBS
has.
No. They pulled the show.
Of course they did.
Activists have killed the
activist. Of course they pulled it, because these companies are woke, don't you know?
Oh, they are so woke.
I mean, it's watching the left devour the left is actually kind of funny. Nicki Minaj has been in the crosshairs.
Yes.
The whole bit about her cousin's friend's swollen testicles
has become
front and center. And they're mad at her because she dares to express some vaccine hesitancy.
Yep.
You're not allowed in Biden's America to express vaccine hesitancy. And here's the bottom line. The more they say you can't resist, the more people are resisting.
Of course. If their idea is to get more people to get vaccinated, they're doing the exact opposite of what they should be doing.
And that proves how stupid they are. They can't figure that out.
Yep.
How do they not understand that?
I know.
How do they not say that? I mean, they're not bright enough to recognize that. I talk to callers all day long. People now are flipping out because my doctor, understand something, my doc is ready to give me a Pfizer shot now.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, because I had the Johnson & Johnson in March.
As a booster, you mean?
As a booster.
Gotcha.
And the mix and match thing. Now, I ain't no doctor, nor do I play one on radio.
But he is.
Well, but I don't, that doesn't sound right to me. Aren't they different sciences?
I don't know.
Isn't one of them the mRNA kind, or one of them is the actual virus? And what, so now we're going to mix it all up. I'm going to have an eyeball pop out of my forehead by the end of the year.
And it's kind of funny. We save booster talk for our last 60 seconds. We'll continue this on Monday. But here's as everybody goes, oh, yeah, here they come.
Yeah, here come Mark and Mike.
They'll never be done. You know, what's the next 47 shots? Which, by the way, and on the booster thing, there's genuine, first of all, in the vaccine itself, 99.99 of every real doctor you find says get the vaccine. So just stop it. Just stop it.
Well, that's Mark Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Send your notes of complaint to Mark.
On the booster, there's real difference. I mean, CDC, FDA. The FDA is debating today whether to go whole hog onto the boosters. So it's like, okay, if that's a real debate, I'm going to listen to that debate. What, 8 months? I mean, however long, I'm trying to remember how long it's been since I got the Moderna. If an appreciable number of people I respect thinks a booster is a good idea, and then I'm going to do what I did with the original vaccine. I'm going to let people start getting boosters. And if we don't have piles of dead bodies on the street, I'm in.
Hey, incidentally, I always kid about this.
Hold on. That's where you tell me what your booster plan is, Mr. Cher.
Honest to goodness, I'm lost.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry Crowley, our GM here in New York, he got a booster, a Moderna booster a few weeks ago.
Right.
Sick in the bed for 3 days.
Well, that proves everything.
Well, but he's kind of like me, similar in age.
Yep.
I'm kind of a little bit overweight still. I mean, I'm convinced I will be in the bed sick for 3 days with candles going and Gregorian chants. By the way,
okay.
I do stand corrected. One of your sharp-eared listeners sent me a text on the MyPillow text line. Sorry, Mike, you weren't a teenager reading Stephen King's It. And I thought, to his point, wait a minute, or her point, he's right, because it was written in 1986.
Yeah, the miniseries was like 90. So,
but 86, I would have been
26.
I'd have been 20. Okay, yeah. So I wasn't a kid. Boy, isn't that weird how our memories are kind of foggy like that? Because I would have sworn on a Bible that I was like 14 when I read it.
But it may be The Shining would have been when you were a teenager.
No, it was Pennywise. Okay, that was the clown, right? No.
Yes,
I remember.
Yes, sure.
So I was a young 26. What can I say?
You approached it with a childlike
With fervor. Okay, I'll see you in about a month after my booster wears off.
Listen while you can. Listen while you can. It's the Mike Gallagher Show. He's there for you today at 10 on 660 AM The Answer.
Ever cease from war. Rest in Jesus.
From the world of country to the world of gospel.
For the Lord
it is B.B. Winans' birthday. He's 59. B.B. and C.C., his sister, the whole Winans family. That is some music. So I'll let B.B. take us out with Safe from Harm. Then we'll hop into the 8 o'clock news, little SRN, little Gordon Griffin, and then pop out the other side, say hi to Ken Paxton, who's getting his teeth kicked in by a number of primary rivals and would like to respond. So we'll let him. That race runs right through this studio with all participants, and we are grateful. And grateful to you for hanging out. We'll have some more calls in our 8 o'clock hour as well. Our chat with Larry Elder, I'll play that for you, and a bunch more to do on this, our Friday show. Thanks for hanging out. Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer. Stick around.
For the Lord, He's good, and I am saved from harm.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. Deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.